Thank you, Sister Kathy. This morning you have your Bibles. You would turn with me to James chapter 2. And look at verse 14. We'll be finishing out this chapter this morning. Verses 14 through 26. James chapter 2. Verse 14. God's faithful. Amen. God is good. God's faithfulness is greater than our faith. Amen. God is so faithful to us. He restores us. He takes care of us. He replenishes us. He gives us that very strength that we need every day to make it through. Amen. God gives us everything. This morning, I want to look at our faith this morning in light of His faithfulness. This morning, the title of our time together is Faith or Fault? Faith or Fault? This morning, as you found your place there this morning in the Word of God, would you look with me very intently this morning, blocking all else out, thanking God this morning for the cross and for the Word of God this morning. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? The question is asked. And he follows this question with another. Can faith save him? Well, those are interesting questions, aren't they? Ones we need to find out about this morning before we go any further. Verse 15, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed or needful to the body, what doth it profit? Pay close attention how he opens up 14 and closes 16 with the same exact question. What doth it profit? Well, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you faith. I'll show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is only one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The question is asked again. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled with which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified. Take note of that, church. By works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? A lot of questions in this text. We need answers this morning. And he concludes with verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, or you can put in the place of spirit, breath, a body without breath is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith or fault? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for just being here this morning. God, I ask one thing and one thing alone, that you have your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you three aspects about faith this morning. I will give them to you up front. First and foremost, I want to share with you the interpretation of faith. The interpretation of faith. Secondly, the identification of faith. Thirdly, the illustration of faith. And then we'll conclude and wrap all this up. But I want to share with you a story. A familiar story to some. There was a tightropist who strung a cable between Canada and the United States. He was going to tightrope and walk across Niagara Falls. With a multitude of people watching him, he did that very thing. He walked across, then ran across, then blindfolded himself and walked across, then ran across, and then he did the ultimate. Blindfolded, after tempting his fate, he takes a wheelbarrow, puts it on the tightrope, walks across the rope over Niagara Falls, blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow, and did it successfully without any flaw. He hollers out to the crowd. He says, "How many of you believe that I could push a man across this rope to the other side?" One man in the front row shouted, said, "I believe. I do. I really believe that you could push a man in that wheelbarrow across that tightrope to the other side." He said, "Then get in." And little to his dismay, he stopped and thought, "What if? What if?" The man never got in the wheelbarrow because he did not have the faith that was accompanied by works. He believed, but he was not willing to work along with his belief. His faith was, "I believe that you can do it, but I'm not willing to put forth any effort." That annihilated and killed his faith. His faith was dead because he were not willing to follow it up with work. Let's see how many of us will get in the wheelbarrow. The interpretation of faith, verse 14. James, a very clear and cut dry kind of fella. James will tell you like it is. He's very discreet and to the point. That's why his book only has 5 chapters. Look at the first interpretation of faith. Very interesting. Verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Let me answer those 2 questions for you first and foremost. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and not works? Let me tell you the first answer. Nothing. The second part, can faith save him? No. Now, don't want to confuse anybody this morning, and I want to just draw a close parallel so you'll understand. Paul, many times over, said faith and faith alone will save a man. That's true. What he was making reference to was, he said, not the law of Moses or the Mosaic law, which all of the Jewish people were accustomed to. This is a law that they learned and learned how to live under, leaving Egypt with no rules whatsoever other than to be slaves. So it was their custom, their way of life, to live by the Mosaic law. That was of God. Jesus Christ comes to fulfill the law, not to change the law. But the faith that he makes reference to, Paul does, is that you have to believe in Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not of your works will you be saved. But I guess John Calvin put it the best. He says that faith alone can save, but the faith that saves is never alone. James is making reference to the faith, saving faith, the living faith. He is wanting to let the people know that he is not compromising or contesting what Paul had already said. But he is coinciding with Paul and letting the people know that yes, it is not of works. Yes, you cannot live under the Mosaic law and not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and expect to be saved. You won't be. Paul said it was the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But what James is making reference to in this faith, he's saying that if you say you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your works will prove it. And if you don't work, then you don't have faith. Now, church, let me share something very important to you. I want to put this right here in front of you. The Bible clearly says in Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through what, church? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. See, I believe that the grace and the faith is a gift of God. The grace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it weren't for God imputing and putting it in our lives, we would not have the faith to believe in Him. He gives us both. But grace is ever abounding, but faith is up to us. See, we can't give grace, but we can give God our faith. And it's okay if you die long after your faith, but don't let your faith die before you do. Now, I'm not going to try to tread water this morning or contradict eternal salvation. I believe you're eternally secure as long as you eternally do what you're supposed to do. But child of God, let me tell you something this morning. You answer this yourself. How can it be that it takes faith and grace to have salvation? And you tell me how His grace can't die, but your faith can. But it takes both aspects to have eternal salvation. What happens if something is dead? It's gone. Is it possible for a man to have faith and then lose it? And then how can you stand before God faithless and expect to go into the kingdom of heaven? Because if you are without faith, you are faithless. So could it be that those who die in their faith begin the journey of apostasy, turning their back on God? I just tell you this, church, cut and dry up front, just as country as I know how to give it to you. When you get there, you better have your faith with you, or you ain't going in. I tell you that because I hate you? Absolutely not. But because I am bound and determined with all that I am that everybody who attends this church or walks through the threshold of this building needs to find Jesus, and it would do me well to know when I got to heaven that the people that God put me an under-shepherd over had their faith when they saw their Maker. Above all things, I want to make sure today you've got your faith. I don't care about your credentials for a moment. I don't care about where you've been, what you've done. I don't care where you're going next week. I want to know before you leave this message that you have a faith that's alive. Because a faith that's dead is faithless, and you have no faith. Therefore, you can't meet God without faith, because He said in Ephesians 2:8, it is by His grace, through your faith, are you saved. Without your faith, you're dead. And you can't get into heaven without faith. What do it profit a man to live your life, to go to church? Let me tell you something else. If your faith is dead and you're not interested in having faith that's alive, don't come back to church. I'm telling you right now, if I didn't have faith and wasn't worried about it, I'd be out there living it up. Preacher, are you crazy? Parson? I wouldn't be wasting my time here because James done told me it ain't going to profit me one iota of coming and doing without faith. But look here, let me tell you what. I'd be out there, I'm talking about turn it up. I'd be out, listen, go to the nightclub. The devil ain't there. He's already got them. So don't worry about the devil. Listen, go after whatever your heart's desire, go. Because you've already chosen that path anyhow. So I'm telling you right now, because listen, you must understand, this is as close to heaven as you're ever going to get. So go for it. Do it to it. Enjoy yourself. And those people you love so much who are living for the Lord, every chance you get, give them a good kiss and tell them how much you love them, because soon you will never see them again. I would. I'm telling you, before God, go. And don't look back. If that's the path you want to take, be man enough or woman enough to pursue it. That being said, but if you're interested in faith, hang around a little while. There are two questions We've given the answers, nothing and no. But I want to look at verse 17 for a minute. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. James is trying to interpret faith to us. He is trying to tell us that faith cannot save you. Works cannot save you. But when works and faith collide, they save you. It's just like love. Love has to move. It has to work to exist. Love can't be still. Faith can't either. See, in order for you to have the saving faith or the living faith of God, you got to have works. Now listen, what he's trying to make claim to is there are those who say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He went to Calvary and He died for me. I believe in God. I believe in heaven. I believe what He says. I believe the Word of God. But yet you don't work. Now I'm not trying to get you to occupy an office in this church. Not at all am I. I am not implying that. But I want to make sure that the office you're claiming that you're working in, that is a Christian. Why must we think that you have to be a member in a church or hold an office in order to fulfill your Christian oath? Oh no, my dear friend. You're a Christian outside of these walls, I hope. And that you're fulfilling your oath. And that you are who you say you are. But I am telling you, you can proclaim faith and it will not get you into heaven. Not by works, lest any man boast. It is a gift of God. Your works, in all of your tireless efforts, as good as you may seem, will not get you into heaven. But like John Calvin said, faith alone saves, and that faith that saves is never alone. They work together. Church, Paul told the in 2 Corinthians, he told them, he said, examine your own faith to see whether or not they were actually really in the faith. Do you know the mind is a strong thing and that we can set imaginations before us and as long as we believe them, they come true? You, without a shadow of a doubt, the Bible says that there'll be few there at the gate. That bothers me. I'm concerned about that. Listen, I can't change the Scriptures. I know there will be many who will be at the gate that is broad, the way that is broad. And I know the Scriptures say there are few that will be there at the gate that go into heaven. I can't change that. But I can change who the few or the many are. I want to be a part of the few, the proud. Amen? And I want to go into heaven. But church, I am telling you that the more... Listen, I believe it with all of my heart that people like us were saved at some vacation Bible school or dedicated as a child or taken into baptism or enrolled themselves in a Sunday school program and somehow or another passed down from their parents or maybe in their own imagination... They have an imagination that they have a faith that saves, that they've never done any work. Those people are being fooled. And God forbid that any of us are those people. It's just been passed down. It's just what you're supposed to believe. It's just what you're used to. No, reality check. Wait a minute. Carl, hold the press. Listen, do you have the faith that works inside of you? And guess what? You don't have to make it work. Faith works on its own if you've got the faith that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're having to pump yourself up and you're having to say, well, I better start getting busy. Oh, no, friend. You're working on works now and not faith. And you've got the faith that doesn't have any works. And it's dead. And how can you be saved if you don't have any faith? Doesn't that concern you? that there are bukus of people who live in an image of themselves, and it's false in the image of God. I'm not here to confuse you. I'm not here to scare you. I just want to make sure that you can say before you leave this service, praise God, I have a faith that works. And because it works, I've got faith. And because those two work together, I got salvation. And I'm going to meet God one day. And I'm not going to be one of those people who knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, let me in. I did this and I did that. And He says, I never knew you. What do it profit a man? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Unless you go by way of the cross through the Lord Jesus Christ with a faith that works, you're not saved. You will perish. You will burn in an eternal hell. Does that ring a bell? I don't want nobody to perish into damnation. I want them to have salvation. So maybe like the church of Corinth, maybe for a minute we need to take just a moment. Listen, you can never be too safe. And examine your faith. Do we do things because it's expected of us? Do we do things because we're in a bit of a routine? Listen, serving God is not a routine. It's an everyday approach to serve a righteous God who is pure and holy. You don't get up in the morning time and plan your day. You plan how you're going to serve God. Who told you you got tomorrow? Maybe it would help us sometime to realize we don't have tomorrow. Maybe we'd be just a little bit more sensitive to God's schedule instead of ours. But it's always by the clock. Got to be here at that time. You know what? I give up on that a long time ago. Glory! That's not an excuse. I am wrong. Oh me. At least I'm man enough to admit it. Come on. He's trying to interpretate to them what faith really is. And friend, I will tell you, if faith is the root, then works is the fruit. And you can't have roots without something growing. And you can't have something growing without roots. They coincide. And your faith, this title, it's not going to get you into heaven. Your precious works are not going to get you into heaven. But because you work, because you've got faith, that's what will get you there. Don't you love it how he spells it out? He's telling you up front, ye people of God. Paul says, examine your faith to see if you're even in it. Isn't that amazing that he's talking to a church? They're already established. He's writing the second epistle to Corinth. He's saying, you need to examine yourself and check and see if you're actually in the faith. And if Paul did it, shouldn't Mac do it? Does Paul love Corinth any more than Mac loves Lebanon? That's for God to decide. But he told them that because he loved them and he was worried more about their soul than he was right now. The flesh. And I am more concerned about where you're going to spend eternity than any feeling or anything I may conflict within this service. I am worried about your soul. Or let me rephrase that. I tell you not to worry. I'm concerned about your soul. Does that mean they're in bad shape? Not at all. I just want to make sure at the end of this service you can proclaim without a shadow of a doubt, signed, sealed, and delivered, that you're on your way to heaven. That's what matters to me most. The other two points are rather short, so don't be concerned that I'm only on number one. You remember Michael Jordan? Anybody know Michael Jordan? Give me an amen. All right, if I say Jesus from here on out, you better be louder than that. All right? If you did it out loud for Jordan, you can do it for Jesus. Michael Jordan, watch this very closely, is the work. All right? Scottie Pippen is the faith. Do you understand that Michael Jordan would have been absolutely nothing without Scottie Pippen? And that Scottie Pippen would have been absolutely nothing without Michael Jordan. You say, oh, brother, now he was a good player. Yeah, he was, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You write this down, you take it to the bank. You're only as good as the people you surround yourself with. I've seen them put star-studded cast together, but they could never work together. Therefore, it made them obsolete. They were nothing. But you get a chemistry. You get a work ethic that works, and we'll blow by the rest of the pack. They'll be asking us instead of us asking them. I'm telling you, friend, that when you put faith, which is Pippen, and when you put the works in Jordan together, it spells championship. And that's what it takes in order to be with the champion of heaven. You've got to have a Pippen and Jordan type faith that works together to make both of them. They support one another and become one. And the only one thing, listen to me, church, I don't care what they may say or what they may do. I am telling you this. Nowhere else in the Scriptures, and you search them to make sure this is sound, nothing else does God tell us in His Word will save you. Your faith with His grace is the only thing that assures you a spot in the kingdom of heaven. If not, you will be a part of the many instead of the few. Secondly, He wants to identify the faith. Look with me now, if you will, in verse 15. He gives a wonderful example in James chapter 2. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, in need of, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, which means you give them nothing of those things they ask for. Does it profit anybody? No. God is using James to tell us a message today. These people come and they're naked and they're in need of food. And you tell them, just be on your way. Everything will be all right. Nobody profited that day. You know what happens when the Word of God is spoken? Faith come by the hearing of the Word of God. That when no one pays attention to a message or to a person who God has used, it has profited nobody. Did it ever close these people to tell them to be on their way and have a blessed day? Did it fill their stomachs to tell them to be on their way and have a blessed day? No. Because you live it. Because you fulfill your faith. John 13:35, Jesus said this, By this all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one to another. Isn't it great to know that our faith being tested on this Sunday, we also are aware whether or not we have faith? Jesus said, these people, everybody will know that you are my people if ye love one to another. You know how God can tell whether or not, or God's people, or even the world can tell if we are in the faith? If you believe and obey. Can I share something with you this morning? Something may help narrow it down for you. You're not a believer of God, a true believer of God, if you're not an obeyer. How can you become a citizen of the United States if you're not willing to obey any of the laws that have been structured? How can you say that you are faithful into God's plan, but yet don't obey the rules? You have to have belief with obedience. If you're not willing to obey the rules of God, not Preacher Mike's, not Lebanon Church, not Free Will Baptist, not the National Association, but the Word of God, the doctrine of the Word of God, what He says is right from wrong. If you're not willing to obey the Word of God, don't say you believe. Because, for, my dear friend, those things that I believe in, I pursue and do my level best. Will you break one of these commandments? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. But you'll know you did. Your conscience will bother you, and you'll learn from your mistakes, and you'll continue to move forward knowing that God's grace, it's not just by your faith are you saved, but it's by God's grace are you saved. God's grace covers those times in your faith when you did all you could do and yet you failed. That's why it's necessary for both of them and not just one of them. Living faith. Do you notice where if you were to clothe someone who was naked or give food, doesn't that feel good to help somebody? Somebody say amen. Boy, I like to help people. It is better to give than it is to receive. Jesus knew what... Hey, listen, I'm telling you right now, the Bible knows what it's talking about. I feel something that rises up in me, and I'd much rather help somebody else than them help me. And then I meet people that's just like me. They don't want me to help them because they want to help me. And I just had to tell them it's more blessed. And they said, well, you remember you said that, because next time I'm going to help you. I'm like, all right. But I like to help people, don't you? Listen, is your life leaving spiritual fingerprints wherever you go? Listen now, not physical, but spiritual fingerprints. Do you leave that kind of mark wherever you go? If not, you're not living in the faith. Oh, you're living in a faith, but it's one you've created, not the one God designed. You know what was neat? I read this past week that a minister ran into a guy who was professed to be a convert, one who's become a Christian. And he said, well, great. He said, have you been baptized? He said, no, the thief on the cross never got baptized, and he wasn't judged for it. He's in heaven. The minister replied, okay. He said, well, have you ever given much thought to joining up and becoming a union with God's church? He said, no, the thief on the cross never did. He wasn't judged for it. He's in heaven. He said, well, surely you bring your 10%, your tithes to the house of God, not for the church or the preacher's benefit, but because God said do it, and you're faithful to God. Oh, no, the thief on the cross never did it. He wasn't judged for it, and he's in heaven. The preacher looked at the man. He said, well, y'all do have something in common. He said, he was a dying thief and you a living thief. Come on. That'll preach. It's okay to laugh. Interpretation of faith, he gives us in verse 14. Identification of faith, he gives us in 15 and 16. There's an example. Aren't you so glad I didn't have to search for an example? Or you to question whether or not it was on target. God give us one in 15 and 16. Are your fingerprints there by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Thirdly and lastly, the illustration of faith. Look at verse 21. We're about done. You hang in there. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou hast faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect. Can I share with you two words? In 21, you see justified. And in verse 22, you see at the closing of the verse, perfect. If you want justification of your faith and you want perfection of your faith, then look at Abraham for an illustration. Watch this. You can be perfect in your faith. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Oh, no. Jesus said there are none good but the Father. There are nobody perfect. That is true. But the word perfect in the Word of God does not mean, mark this down, without flaw. But perfect does mean that ye as a believer in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ are willing to give it all. And any man, woman, boy, or girl who gives it all is perfect in the will of God. Hear me now. You can be perfect in the will of God, not because you're without flaw, but because you're willing to give it your all. Perfect. You know what it's going to take to get in heaven? Faith that has been justified by your works and perfected by your works. Wait a minute, preacher. You mean it's got to be justified and perfected? Yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Because I don't believe that God is going to stand at the gate and judge the levels of faith. How do I know that I've been justified by your work? You know what faith is in Isaac's case or Abraham's case? He took his son to the mountain, prepared an altar, carried a knife with him. God said, make a sacrifice. He was going to have to kill his son. Faith is what raised the knife. In his heart, the willing to do everything it took to please God is the works of that faith. He about to kill his son, God stopped him. Bring no harm to the lad. He prepared a sacrifice. There was a ram caught in the thicket. That was the sacrifice. God tested him. He said, Abraham, do you have the faith to do whatever it is I ask you to do? It says that his faith was wrought by his words. And now the question is this. Oh, you mean to tell me, would God ask me to kill my son? No. But God wants you to be willing to do anything and everything it takes to prove your faith. Now, are you doing that? Has God been speaking to you about doing something and you've neglected Him? It may be to get saved. It may be to move. It may be to relocate. God may need you somewhere else. God may need you to step up wherever you are. God may need you to be faithful because people are watching you. You're the only Bible they're ever going to read. The only gospel they'll ever see will be your account. They'll never hear from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but they'll hear from Mike. They'll hear from Shannon. They'll hear from Neil. They'll hear from Furman. They'll hear from Jeff. They'll hear from Buddy. They're going to hear from Doug. They're going to hear from Gene. They're going to hear from Sammy. They're going to be listening. They're going to be watching Betty. They're going to be watching AJ. They're going to be watching Sean. They're going to be watching Crystal. Be watching Jeff's brother. You can't miss him. Be watching Brian. You may be the only gospel they ever read. And your account of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the only one they ever get. And you can believe for it's over with, there will be cases like that in every one of our lives. Nothing else matters. I don't care what the neighbor did. I don't care what your boss said. I don't care if that part didn't make it. I don't care if that dress don't fit like it used to. I don't care if it ain't what it once was. I'm telling you, friend, there's coming a day where your faith is on trial before God and it better be proven innocent instead of guilty of wavering and neglecting because you were not willing to take this proclamation and put it with your performance. You can't just profess you've got it. Because he said the demons even believe, but yet they tremble. So let me get this straight. Most church-going people or people in the community that were born in the Bible Belt are on the same plateau as demons. How about that? You have graduated. You have put yourself, and you're just as equal in God's eyes, as one of the fallen angels, as far as where you believe in your faith. Where's that going to get you? You think the demons are going to hell? Because they believe? No. Oh, no, friend. They're going to be bound in eternal damnation forever. And they believed all the way there. Why are we any different? Christ actually died for not them, but for us. In order that we could have this promise of faith. And if you sit in this congregation today and you don't have faith that's alive and your faith is dead, you're faithless. But yet, you have an opportunity of a lifetime, or rather, of eternity. Because you believe and you are willing to pursue that which ye believe in with all of your life. Rahab the harlot. She was a prostitute. That's what a harlot is. She was in her home within the walls of Jericho. She could have turned these spies away, given them up to the local authorities, but she said, no, I am willing to abandon my old lifestyle and the very people who do not believe in God. Because we've all been hearing about this in Jericho for the last 40 years, that the Israelites are coming. Because God's promise has been made, and it's been made known even to us in Canaan. So I believe, and I'm willing to walk away from my old life and from those old friends because I believe in God. She took action. The Bible also declares in James that she also was, her faith was also wrought by her works. And she was found faithful. Now, in closing, Abraham was considered a friend of God. I don't know exactly what it takes to be called a friend of God, but I can tell you what it takes to become a child of God. And it is through your faith, by His grace, are you saved. Can I tell you something this morning? His grace is here. Is your faith? See, you got to show up in order for it to become complete. What better day than today, church, for all of God's people to say, you know what? I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to ask God, with His help, to examine my faith. I want to make sure I've got what it takes to get into heaven. I believe, but I've been reminded this morning that also the devils believe, and they don't have a part in the kingdom. So is your faith working? If you got to prompt it or make it, it's not true faith. If you got to make yourself love your wife or love your husband, it's not real love. You need to regroup. If your faith doesn't prone you to say, boy, what can I do for God? Listen to me now. What can I do for God? But let me tell you why the church has lost their power. Why you don't see many miracles and hear a bunch of these stuff abroad. Because the so-called profession are nothing more than a lot of zombies. Listen, churches are full of them. And I wish I would to God that I could take every man and woman in this building and stir you up and shake you and say, make sure. Make sure. Because if history repeats itself all across the board, today, men and women will walk out of the sanctioned sanctuary of God as zombies. Just like me. They are dead people walking. And no how wonder there's nobody impacting their neighborhood. You know why they're waiting on the preacher to do it? Because he might be the only one they know got the faith. They got faith in the preacher that he'll do it, but they ain't got faith in God for them to do it. He concludes by saying in verse 26, that the body without breath is dead? Faith without works, dead. Church, answer this. God's grace with what will get you into heaven? Is your faith dead? Is it working? Are you doing anything for God? You answer that question. I'm going to leave you like this. Because I love you. You ready to get in the wheelbarrow? Because guess what? You ain't never going to make it to the other side unless you do. Stand up. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're just going to have a verse of invitation this morning. I've said enough. I'm just going to say a prayer that God will speak to you. You need time this morning to come and examine your faith because you just want to make sure that it is alive and well. You take that time to do that. This morning, if you're not saved, you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, personal Savior. Maybe you've made a profession. That's okay. People profess all the time and they've never met Him. Now would be a good time this morning for the people in this building. I don't care if you're here for the first time. Your faith is on trial. Maybe most important that you get it settled here today before you're standing at the door of heaven. And God says, I never knew you. He knows you by your faith in His Son. Make sure that's as strong as ever before you leave here. Father, this morning, I pray again, above all things, your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.